Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. I'm very happy now to welcome to the program William Powers. His latest book is called 12 by 12, A One-Room Cabin Off the Grid and Beyond the American Dream. And he will be in Santa Fe next week, Saturday, the 16th of April, doing a workshop called The Six Secrets of Creative Nonfiction. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
So you, when you wrote this book, okay, you lived off the grid. We've talked about the book before, and if anybody wants to hear the interview, they can go to santafe.radiocafe.org and look for it. You lived in a little 12 by 12 house, and you wrote about it, all the things that came up for you. This is a book of what you would call creative nonfiction. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So creative nonfiction could be defined as vivid, true stories where you use dialogues, beats, and scenes like novelists and poets use. So it can be memoir, essay, or narrative journalism, including travel writing, which I do a lot of. And creative nonfiction gives you the power to capture real life with the intensity of cinema, but also having the integrity of facts. So that's what I was trying to do in 12 by 12, is employ a lot of devices you might normally find in fiction to really bring it home to the reader. You know, the sights, sounds, and smells, but also using strong character narrative arcs.
It's interesting to me that you said a moment ago, doing writing that has the intensity of cinema versus doing writing that has the intensity of fiction. Why is that? I mean, because we're just such visual media-oriented people at this point?
I think so. I think that in the past there was a lot of exposition used, like explaining things, and also a lot of what the character's thinking in fiction, you know, their inner monologue. But I think now people will get bored by that, and they really want to get right to the action. I would say to writers, you know, figure out how you can get into the scene as late as possible and out of the scene as early as possible. You know, just give us as little transition as possible, because we're so used to thinking quickly that we can just put it together ourselves.
So really, you're drawing on what are truly cinematic techniques of editing.
I think so, and I think that because they've asked, producers interested in making 12 by 12 into a film that will ping the collective subconscious of 500 million young people around the world, in his words, he's had me do a plot treatment or a film treatment for book. So I've been reading a lot on screenwriting, and I've been very influenced by that as I prepare this summary of what it would be like as a film. And I just realized also that that's what I've been almost subconsciously doing in some of my nonfiction, even in my travel writing and personal essays that I do for different magazines like The Atlantic Monthly and The Washington Post and others, is that I'm just almost unconsciously cutting to the chase a lot more quickly and making it vivid and dramatic for the reader.
Does that also mean that the works come out shorter?
Well, you might say that you can go any length, but that each individual scene will be shorter. And the reader's kind of in their mind connecting them. So gone are like Dostoevsky's long scenes or something like that, and it's more of the internet age where you're just clicking from one site to the next, or these reality TV shows that are jumping around. I mean, I think that if literature wants to compete in this kind of market, because let's face it is competing for people's entertainment time, we also have to adopt some of those techniques without giving up the theme. Like, so I'm rigorously committed to strong themes and my values, trying to pursue social change agenda, trying to pursue serious themes, but I'm just changing the way that I'm telling the stories. It's a response to being in the 21st century.
Where people's attention spans maybe aren't as long either.
Absolutely.
When you wrote 12 by 12, what were the source materials that you drew on? Were you keeping a diary at the time that you went back to later?
Yes. So I will fill hundreds of pages of free writing in marble notebooks. You know, I love to write even by candlelight in the 12 by 12 and afterwards. And then basically I just recycled all of that, let's say, and I just started from scratch because, yeah, I'm drawing from it, but I'm never using journalistic diary-type writing for the actual final product. It should inspire it, but, you know, a lot of people feel like they can just draw from the free write and publish that, but that's not really the way it works, because it has to be much more tailored and sculpted into a finished product. And that's what I do in my writing workshops, which I teach actually around the country at writing workshops and conferences, is I teach that craft, you know, how you get from the wonderful raw material, the purple patches or the inspired little vignettes and dialogue in that, to the finished product.
And, of course, that involves actually throwing out a lot of stuff that you thought was pretty darn good.
That's right. Yeah, that you should never marry your darlings. Like, you should never be afraid to cut a lot of stuff, because the reader never sees everything that was on the chopping block. They only see the end, which is what makes, I think, writing a lot different from other forms of art, like, say, a live performance, that you do have this incredible luxury to really tailor it down to something quite beautiful.
When you were writing 12 by 12, and so you were working with a lot of this journal-type free-write material, and you were crafting it into a book, I mean, this is a process, and you're going to be teaching part of that in your workshop, The Six Secrets of Creative Nonfiction. How did you know when you were done?
That's a fantastic question. And, well, part of it was when I sent a draft to my agent, he told me quite clearly I was not done. He sent it back to me and said, you know, you need to make this better. So I spent another 6 months doing a lot of rewriting and thinking more deeply about the issues and going more deeply. And also in what I call organic structuring, similar to how the Catalan architect Gaudí is inspired by nature's forms to create his architecture. Likewise, I'm not imposing a kind of an outside structure on the material, but it's growing organically through a right brain creative process, and yet it's also strong like a skeleton. It's kind of hard to describe. I mean, you almost have to do a bunch of exercises to get it, but it's a tension between you're developing the thoughts and the philosophy and the themes and the characters, because even in nonfiction, those are their characters, and at the same time, the structure is just emerging out of that.
You were, of course, writing in this very much about the environment and the destruction of the environment and a kind of meditation on your place within the environment. And here you are talking about organic form and structure. Was there anything that you ended up finding in your writing that was literally a natural structure, like, you know, this piece is in the shape of a leaf or anything like that?
Well, let's see. So I think I mean natural structure in a more metaphorical sense of the fact that you're not imposing an outline on the book, or you're not imposing some sort of like platform on it, that the material, the themes, they just grow with the structure. For example, the book 12 by 12 was actually structured in two parts, 12 chapters each, so it's sort of 12 by 12, which is a bit of a artifice, I guess you can say, but it just seemed to work.
And I don't think I even noticed that at the time. Of course, I didn't even think of that.
Right. So there's just like little subtle things like that. But also the fact that certain information was revealed at different points about certain characters that would create narrative tension and suspense. And also there was revealing the physician's philosophy through the 12 cards, you know, the sort of like little Buddhist slogans throughout the book, and how that would tie to the chapter. So all that stuff kind of came out of the lived experience in the 12 by 12 house.
We're talking to William Powers, who's going to be teaching this workshop called The Six Secrets of Creative Nonfiction. Okay, so they're secrets, so I guess you can't tell them to us on the radio.
Right.
Can you give us one?
Sure. One of them is actually the creative process itself. Like, I call it the life cycle of the creative process, right? So the first is finding silence and meditation for your inspiration. It's Haruki Murakami's well, you know, that dark place, but also that place of just real creativity that's your creativity, and it's not socialized into you. So that's the first thing. The second part of the creative process is rapid clustering. So it's getting the writing students to just use the technique of mind mapping, where you put the first idea in the middle, and then you just branch out from there and just have whatever free associations you get. And then third, you can do purple patches. These are these inspired streams of prose that comes out of the rapid clustering. And even in the editing process, I come back to the right brain and listening for tone and sound and so on. So the creative process is entirely not in your analytical mode that you use to write emails or to hammer out memos or to write a nonfiction piece, a typical dry nonfiction piece. We're using fictional techniques for this.
Have you also written fiction?
I have. I've had a short story recently published, and I'm working on a novel right now that I'm finished with. It's in the draft form, and I'm actually revising it.
Now, when you were learning your craft, how did you learn it? Did you go to workshops like this?
I loved writing books like Anne Lamott's Bird by Bird, and trying to think of other, just some wonderful books of people who have written about the writing process, like authors that I admire who write about it. I wouldn't say that I actually went to writing workshops. I was an English minor undergraduate at Brown, and so I took a lot of English classes and poetry and so on, and just went from there. You know, I was working as an aid worker in Liberia, West Africa, and I had this dual love for international development and conservation, which I got my graduate degree in, and writing. So I combined the two by writing that memoir called Blue Clay People about my 2 years in Charles Taylor's Civil War Liberia. And that was published by Macmillan and got a good following, and that led to another memoir and so on. So it was sort of, in my case, letting my creative nonfiction grow out of my career.
So what are you working on? What should we be watching for in your next set of work?
I'm working on a novel, and it's called The Earth Room. That's a tentative title right now, and that's about ecological terrorism, which the FBI says is the biggest domestic terrorist threat that there is. You know, the people who, Earth Liberation Front, people lighting on fire SUVs and blowing up new ski resorts and developments and so on. It sort of deals with the issues around that. And 12 by 12 is coming out in Chinese.
Really?
It's coming out with one of the better Chinese publishers, and I'm excited about that because we're trying to bring these ideas of simplification and not over-consuming to China at this very time with my work at the World Policy Institute. And it's just so incredibly cool that we're going to have it in Chinese and have that dialogue about how much is enough with that part of the world, which, as you know, is trying to develop into our American style of capitalism. You know, so there's this interesting moment.
And also, which has this huge demand for endangered species for its use in traditional Chinese medicine.
Exactly. So there's that, and I've got some work coming out on illegal timber and how to stop the trade in illegal timber. That's more of a policy piece. It's a white paper. And, yeah, my usual Washington Post travel pieces and everything else that I'm doing.
When you look at the state of the environment right now around the world, whether it be China, the United States, or any place else, is there anything that gives you hope that will actually avert the worst crises that seem to be looming?
Absolutely. I feel very hopeful by what I call pockets of the soft world that I've seen. I just got back from Bolivia 2 weeks ago, and I was living in a small village called Samepata with 3,000 people. It's where the Amazon meets the Andes, and it's actually a beautiful place. And there are people living there, foreigners from 27 countries, who are trying to decolonize themselves, trying to get out of their overdeveloped habits, overconsumption, and get back to the point of enough, you know. And it's interesting because the Bolivians are showing the way, because only 1% of people in this town have cars. 95, if not 99% of everything is local. Cheese, bread, eggs, everything is from right there. And their carbon impact on the planet is zero. It's almost nothing. It's very, very slight. So, you know, that's just one example. And I've seen hundreds and hundreds of places like that, you know, working around the world for the last 15 years in some 50 countries that I've been to. These are the untold stories of people living in harmony with nature. You know, they're not trying to always pursue more. They're looking for enough. And I think the media doesn't like to report that story because it's too threatening to the dominant model. But it's out there. And I think that actually the majority of people in the world are pursuing that level of consumption that's not too much or too little, but is at the right level.
William Powers is the author of the book 12 by 12, a one-room cabin off the grid and beyond the American dream, and many other works that you can find out about at his website, williampowersbooks.com. And once again, he will be teaching a class called The Six Secrets of Creative Nonfiction on Saturday, the 16th of April at 9 o'clock in the morning here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And for registration, I guess people will just go to your website. Is that correct?
Right. So they just go to williampowersbooks.com. They can click on Next Events and then just scroll down to that workshop, and it has all the details on it.
William Powers, thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks a lot. It was great being here.
I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
And Bob Martin is with us. He's executive director of the Lensic, and it's the Lensic's 10th anniversary.
It is. Can you believe it?
How did we ever survive 11 and more years ago?
Without the Lensic?
Without the Lensic.
Or just in general?
No, without the Lensic.
Well, I think you did, because I think there's always been a lot going on in Santa Fe, but I think the Lensic really was able to focus a whole nother level for the performing arts and for the community. And I think when I hear people say that, you know, we feel so honored that we have been able to play that role in the community over these years.
So you're planning a gigantic 10th birthday bash.
Well, you know, it's our 10th birthday bash as the Lensic Performing Arts Center. It's also the 80th birthday of the Lensic Theater itself. It opened in 1931, so we're actually celebrating the building itself 80 years, and 10 years is sort of the new nonprofit Lensic Performing Arts Center.
What do you have planned?
Well, we have a lot planned. We really started last week with Arlo Guthrie and the Santa Fe Indian School spoken word team doing a great show called Moccasins and Microphones. And tonight, in conjunction with Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, we're bringing in Ritrigram, which is a wonderful dance company from southern India. One of our Live at the Mets is on Saturday. Tuesday, the premiere, Santa Fe premiere of the Trey McIntyre Project. Wonderful dance company who's never been here before. We have a big gala celebration on April 16th that we hope people join us with. And then very, very excited on April 19th in conjunction with Outpost and National Hispanic Cultural Center, Los Muñequitos, a group.
Los Muñequitos de Matanzas.
Yes, and they just barely made it. They had a lot of problem at the end with visas getting in the country, so it was sort of a nail biter, but they're here. They've been performing on the West Coast. They'll be
here.
Yeah,
because, you know, Cubans are very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
They might get people dancing.
They might get people dancing, and that's revolutionary.
Yeah.
You've got to watch out for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, even with the relations being better with Cuba, it still was not a done deal until the very, very end. So it shows you that we still have a way to go with I think just international artists in general getting this country, making it easier, and certainly from Cuba, very, very difficult. But they're coming. Then, as part of our big screen classics, we're showing Modern Times, the last Charlie Chaplin silent film. Great, great film. That'll be in 35mm, so it'll be celluloid. And then we have the 11th annual Nuestra Musica that we do in conjunction with the Museum of Spanish Colonial Arts, and it features all the great traditional music of northern New Mexico, Cipriano Vigil, and just, you know, wonderful, wonderful group of musicians. And then May 1st, New Mexico Jazz Festival is bringing in Gary Burton and Chick Corea. So
oh,
it's a
my goodness.
Pretty good lineup.
This
yeah,
is
we're
amazing.
Pretty excited. Yeah.
And you know what's also amazing is that when you celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Lensic, if you weren't looking, you'd say, well, this is just what the Lensic does anyway.
Well, you know, it's true. You said we must be very busy, and we're busy, but it's not really any more than a usual week or month. But what we did try to do with the programming in April is try to focus, more directly on really the diversity of what we do, having a little dance, a little music. We actually opened earlier on the week before with Josh Kornbluth and a great show called Andy Warhol, Good for the Jews.
Yes, so we had him on. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's wonderful, wonderful guy. So we tried to have a little dance, a little theater, a little music, and just, you know, the Met broadcast. We have two Lannan events. So it was really trying to just show, again, you know, an overview of just the scope of programming that happens in any given week or month all year round.
Well, we are very grateful for the Lensic, and we feature a lot of the people who are coming to the Lensic on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. If we featured them all, it would be an all Lensic radio program.
Well, that's good. We could do that. Well, let me say, you guys have been so generous and so supportive of us over the years, and I know we've done a number of events together, and we're just
likewise.
We're lucky to be in a community that has a radio station that supports and believes in the arts and believes in community process, and we're very grateful for everything you've done for us over the years.
Well, thank you, and the Lensic is a wonderful space with terrific acoustics, terrific sound systems, terrific staff, great seats. It's just a wonderful place to hear music and see lectures and see dance, and the stage is so versatile. And you guys work like dogs.
We work like dogs. And one segue into that is that one of the big announcements we've made over the last few weeks is that the nonprofit now does own the Lensic Theater.
Right.
We purchased it from the Greer family, and we're beginning a campaign now to raise money as well to keep up the quality of programming and also to keep up the space. We did an analysis about 2 years ago, and really from now, 2011, let's say, through 2021, we're going to need a minimum of $1 million through those 10-year period to keep up the Lensic, both state-of-the-art equipment and new seats, beautification. So I think the other things people forget that we do have to remind people of now and then is that at being the caretakers of a space like that, which will be 90 years old in 10 years, you both have structural issues, building issues, but also state-of-the-art. Every two or three years, there can be new software new need for lighting boards because the technology's gotten to that point, and every group traveling from other parts of the country internationally, are expecting to use that. So we really, if we want to
stay digital cinema,
exactly, we're going to probably have to get it, upgrade that in a couple of years. So if we want to keep state of the art and if we want to keep the beauty of the space going, we really do have to. We have to keep working on that simultaneously as bringing in the great program. And so it is a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Bob Martin is Executive Director of the Lensic. They're at lensic.org. You can check out the 10th, is it birthday or anniversary?
We'll 10th anniversary. Anniversary, birthday, whatever.
Yeah, same aniversario.
Yeah.
And we will see you at some of these events. And actually, right now, we want to do a ticket giveaway. We're giving away a pair of tickets to Los Muñequitos de Matanzas. And that is traditional Afro-Cuban folkloric music, so it has very much the heavy-duty beats of Africa. Not so much salsa, although but it's really the percussion, the dancing, and the singing. Those people can dance.
They can dance. They're an amazing company, and we're really, really fortunate that they're making their way to New Mexico to visit us.
Bob Martin, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's always a pleasure.
Rob DeWalt.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm waking up. I got some of this Black Lightning coffee, so it's I need an IV drip, but I'll be fine in a few minutes.
You know, if caffeine is your addiction and your only addiction, then I think you're doing okay.
Yeah, I'm awake now. I'm totally awake.
Look, he took a sip. Bob Martin walked out the door, and all is well.
And all is well.
So
the Babapalooza is over for the day.
Yeah, that's right. It was a mini Babapalooza.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what's going on this weekend and beyond.
Let's do. I mean, we could start with what's happening at the Lensic.
We just did.
Bob was... Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh, we talked about the actual events that are happening?
You had your headphones on.
Oh, you talked about Terry McIntyre Project?
Trey McIntyre,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You did.
Well, you can talk about it some more.
No, that's all right.
No, go ahead.
That's all right. I might, I want one of these 10th anniversary commemorative programs.
Yeah. Well, it turns out you have one in your hand.
I know. I think if you're not going to take it, I'll take it.
I think you should take it.
All right.
All right.
First, I want to remind everybody that tomorrow I'll be chilling at the pet sort of food/pet store over there in the College Plaza by Jumbo Cafe. From 11 to 3.
Petco?
Petco, yes.
You'll be chilling at Petco.
I'll be chilling at Petco for the adopt-a-thon that's happening from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Are you
there.
Taking your sweet,
yes,
beautiful dog?
Sweet, beautiful DJ who was rescued.
I can't believe you're not so attached to it that you can never give him up.
Well, the thing is that he actually lives with my partner's sister and her two kids and husband also in Glorieta. So I get to see him, not as much as I'd like to, but I'm taking care of a friend's dog who needs some help. So I've got my hands full with my own animals, but DJ is still close to my heart, and I'm hoping that he gets adopted, even though I'm going to miss him. But there's going to be tons of dogs and cats. up for adoption from 11 to 3 at Petco tomorrow.
Literally tons?
Tons.
4,000 pounds or more?
In poundage. Yeah, totally. Not that the dogs are really fat. It's just that there's a lot of animals that need home.
We're going to be doing a show on pet nutrition soon. There's a new book out on pet nutrition that has this obese dog on the front. It's just basically this spherical mass of fur with a head sticking out the front.
This is the kind of dog that like plays with a ball and it gets lost in the folds of its own skin and it sniffs around and can't find it.
Yeah, and you don't know which is the ball and which is the dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Sad. Anyway, let's talk about what's happening in Santa Fe and beyond in the next week. We have, the White Trash Monologues are continuing this weekend.
Yay.
That is tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. It's Deborah Hike's autobiographical one-woman show. That's over at the Rail Yard Performance Center. And you can get
And that's lots of fun.
And that is lots of fun. She gave me a ticket to go to either tonight or tomorrow night, so I haven't made up my mind. It depends on how much I get done today.
Did I say the tickets were gone?
No.
The tickets are gone.
The tickets are gone?
Yes.
But you can always call at the last minute because you never know.
You could also call 988-1234 and buy a pair of tickets to Los Muñequitos.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I hope it's sold out.
There's a bunch of openings this weekend. Tonight, the Photo Eye Gallery is having an opening called The Bridge at Hoover Dam, work by Jamie Stillings. Now, Stillings did some photographic work while they were doing the construction of the bridge, and now this is him. This has returned, and the bridge is finished, and the photographs are of the finished project, or mostly finished project, we'll say. And there's a reception from 4 to 7 p.m. tonight. And that shows up through May 20th, and that's over at Photo Eye Gallery on Garcia Street. Verve Gallery of Photography, more photography by, it's a group show, and that's up through June 16th, and there's a reception actually on April 15th. So there's no reception tonight, but that show goes up today. What else? New Mexico Museum of Art. Earth Now, American
yes.
Photographers in the Environment.
We just did a show on that. I saw the catalog. I haven't seen the show yet. You got to go see the show. Because
yeah.
Some of the photographs are really huge. Scale is a big part of it.
Yeah, scale is a big part of it. And it's on the cover of Pasta Tiempo today. There's a great story in there.
That's a great picture that's on the cover, too.
Yeah, I know. It took me a second when I first saw it, when they were first sort of figuring out the cover. It took me a second because I didn't have my glasses on. I had no idea what I was looking at.
Mm.
But
it turns out it's a shrubbery.
A shrubbery and a tree and a wall. But a very beautiful shrubbery, tree, and a wall. And let's see, that is, there's a reception from 5:30 to 7:30 at the New Mexico Museum of Art. That show is up through October 9th. There's also a video installation by Robert Gaylor.
And yes.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Don't know much about the video installation, really. But that reception is at 5:30 this evening over there on West Palace Avenue at the New Mexico Museum of Art. And what else? What else? Oh, William Talbot Fine Art Antique Maps.
Let me just say about Robert Gaylor, what he sent me, he said it's a video installation that presents an uncharacteristic perspective on the ebb and flow of the Pacific Ocean at Camilo Beach, Hawaii.
Ooh.
And those currents carry an enormous amount of plastic debris that washes ashore on a continual basis around there. And it's the area called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
Ooh, yes.
But some people say it's at least the size of Texas. So it's sort of about the plastic legacy. And the amazing thing about this is that Robert Gaylor is a very good artist, and he's able to find a kind of strange, I don't know if you want to call it beauty, but visual interest in this stuff.
In garbage.
Well, what we're doing to our oceans.
Yeah.
It's very, very important.
It's frightening. That's frightening. But, you know, you can't live in the frightening world all the time. You have to go out and be a part of the world and either make it better or sit around and do nothing. So this exhibit will definitely inspire, I think, quite a few people to do something instead of nothing.
And I just want to, here's another one. Back to Nature Weekend. Take an urban bird hike at the Audubon Center and learn about the return of the lobo. And that is tomorrow and Sunday. So it's in conjunction with the New Mexico History Museum, who has that great show called Wild at Heart, Ernest Thompson Seton. For more information, you can call 476-5200.
Since we're on an environment kick at the moment, Saturday, the Muses Market, an environmentally minded theatrical and musical troupe, is performing at Little Wing at the Candyman at 8 p.m. If you go to musesmarket.com, you can find out more information about these folks. There is a cover. You can call 699-5470 to find out more information about the when, where, and how much, and all that good stuff. But go to musesmarket.com and check these folks out. It's pretty cool. Before I start mentioning anything about nightlife, I wanted to let people, I'm not sure if a lot of people know or not, that the governor recently vetoed a bill that would have lowered the penalties for servers who serve people that are drinking while underage. And I think that's kind of unfortunate, you know, I mean.
Very unfortunate indeed, because there have been people who were carded at the door, they go in.
Yes.
They get a drink.
This just happened recently.
And then the bartender is suddenly a felon?
And the bartender is a felon who, by the way, can spend up to 18 months in prison and be fined $5,000 and possibly not be allowed to serve alcohol and feed his or her family. Now, I understand the point that some servers out there, you know, I can't imagine that it's a giant pool, because I was in the industry for 18 years, might be willingly and knowingly serving someone that's underage. But here's the point. Every server, alcohol server in the state of New Mexico, has to take a certification test. That is, basically the state hires this company that comes in and teaches people how to notice people that are underage, intoxicated, and things like that. If we're going to fine and throw servers in jail, then I think the people that are telling them what to look for, the people that are quote-unquote certifying these folks to serve, some of the onus has to be on them. Perhaps they need to be fined $5,000 as well. They can match the kitty in the pot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just, okay, I'm going to stop ranting about that.
Yeah, that was very, very unfortunate.
But, well, there's a lot of unfortunate things, but we don't have time to get into them because this is
a
happy,
fun
show.
No, this is State of the Arts. It's a family show.
Okay. Corazon, 9 on Saturday the 9th. Hip Hopper's State of Domingo, who I wrote about in my Soundwave column today. And Line of Sight and DJ's Ride and Doer, a.k.a. Mandy Mass or Moss, I'm not sure, are playing at 9 p.m. at Corazon. There's a very low cover. State of Domingo is the funniest sort of hip-hop collective that I've run into in quite a while. And it's you know, one of these guys, Zach Maloof, who actually calls himself OG Willikers, started out sort of playing emo music and then folk music, and now he's a hip-hop artist, and him and his buds just do a great job. It'll take your mind off of some of the things that are happening in the world, at least for a little while. That's Saturday at 9 p.m. at Corazon, low cover. Let's see. I already talked about the Muses Market. So what else? Oh, performances at the Screen. Did you talk about this?
Go ahead.
Okay. Spring 2011 season, an encore broadcast of Caligula on Sunday the 10th. Caligula by the Paris Opera Ballet at 12:30 p.m. at the Screen, which is, of course, on the campus of the Santa Fe University.
Is that happening again? Because that was the Paris Opera Ballet was last weekend, too.
Well, I believe it's happening again.
Well, that's good, because my beloved, beautiful mother went, and she said it was fabulous.
Caligula. what is this? Oh, Walter Echo Park tonight at 6 p.m. The attorney author discusses and signs copies of In the Courts of the Conqueror, the 10 Worst Indian Law Cases Ever Decided.
Uh-oh.
That's over at the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts downtown across from Cathedral Park.
Must have been hard to narrow it down.
I know. Well, I think that you probably 10 was probably all they could fit in before someone starts getting sort of sleepy. So, but there's definitely more than 10. But these are the 10 most egregious, apparently. April in Paris. April in Paris is starting this week. I think it starts on Sunday. And let's see, I have the information right here.
Yes, you do.
This is sort of a tradition at Vanessi, which is under new ownership, and I hope that they keep this around April in Paris for years and years and years, depending on how long Charles Tishner and Ron Dadu Romanovsky want to do it. But pretty much every year in April, they present a bunch of songs, many of them sung in French. But music by Edith Piaf and Cole Porter and others, and that is 4 p.m.
Dadu is a Francophile.
Yes, he is. That sounds dirty for some reason. I'm not sure why. It's not, but it sounds dirty. That's 4 p.m.
It didn't to me until you said that.
Until I said that. And then I planted the seed, and then boom.
Planting the seed. Okay. Women Composers in the Modern Era, Sunday, April 10th at 4 o'clock, co-sponsored by the New Mexico Committee of the National Museum of Women in the Arts and St. John's College. And it's a special evening of art and song by outstanding composers of the 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries, including Clara Schumann, Alma Mahler, Lily, and Nadia Boulanger, Amy Beach, Ruth Crawford Seeger, and Libby Larson. Karen Guilfrey, mezzo-soprano, will be there, Beth Nielsen, piano, and it's at the St. John's Great Hall on Sunday at 4.
Awesome.
Awesome indeed.
The pains of being pure at heart. These indie poppers.
Do you know about that firsthand?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do. There's a great story in Passa Tiempo by Bob Kerr. An interview with one of the fellows in the band. The pains of being pure at heart, sort of an indie pop. Twin Shadow is opening. That's at 7 p.m. on Tuesday the 12th. This is an all-ages show, which is awesome. And that's at Corazone at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And then later that night, I think, is the reggae party with DJ's Dynamite Soul. It's an early show, so for the all-ages crowd on a Tuesday, your mom, dad, you know, extend curfew a little bit. Let the kids out for some fun. Let's see. If you go to CorezoneSantaFe.com, you can find out ticket information and more about the band, or you can call 983-4559. Generally, no one will answer the phone there until like 5 or 6 o'clock. But there's a story on in today's Passa Tiempo on page 24, and that's also going to be a great show. Did you talk about Return of the Lobo, the Mexican Wolf Recovery Program, yet?
No, go ahead.
Okay. That is on Sunday. Maggie Dwyer of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service discusses the efforts to restore the wolf to the wild in conjunction with the exhibit Wild at Heart, Ernest Thomas Seton. That's at from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday at the New Mexico History Museum over there on Lincoln Avenue, and that's by museum admission. So
we discussed a related thing. But anyway, I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah,
yeah.
The Lobo, I guess it's the Lobo Walk. Manuel Munoz, What You See in the Dark. Munoz is the author of a couple of short story collections, and he will be reading at Collected Works Bookstore on the 12th. What day of the week is that?
That's a Thursday. No, no, I'm sorry. That's a Tuesday.
Tuesday of next week.
Mm-hmm.
And What You See in the Dark, let's see. Oh, he uses, it's his first novel, and he uses the second person to draw the reader in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is not done very successfully all that often.
No.
The one very, very successful use of that technique was the book that came out, I think, in the 1980s called Bright Lights, Big City.
That was...
Jay McInerney?
Jay McInerney. That's one of my favorite books.
That was a great book.
Yeah.
And using it in the second... using that tool of writing the book in the second person. Mm-hmm. You do this, you do that, this, you know. It was brilliant and worked so well.
Yeah, that
so
was...
So here we have.
Yeah.
He did it again.
Yay!
Another person.
Another person. I don't know, is this correct that Opera Unveiled 2011, the lecture series is beginning on the 13th? I have the Santa Fe Opera Guild's lecture series begins with Desiree Mays discussing and signing copies of Opera Unveiled 2011 at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 13th at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Fe.
Excellent.
So...
That's very important.
Yeah. Now you can join the guild or not. Couples it's less to join as a couple than as a single individual. It's called 629-1410 extension 132. You can find out more info on the Opera Guild and all that good stuff. But
also at Collected Works, Duncan Watts is speaking on the 14th at 11 in the morning in a program about his book called Everything is Obvious Once You Know the Answer. So he asks questions like, why is the Mona Lisa the most famous painting in the world? Why did Facebook succeed when other social networking sites failed? Etc. And if you think the answers to these questions are a matter of common sense, think again. He's a sociologist and network science guy. So his book, Everything is Obvious Once You Know the Answer, Thursday, Collected Works, 11 a.m.
Yay! Antigone.
Antigone.
Yes.
That's a must go.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
This is gonna be awesome.
It is awesome. I went to the dress rehearsal.
You did?
Yes.
At the pool?
Yes.
Okay. So for those that don't understand, Theater Work is doing this production in the Tino Griego pool. The set is amazing. The costumes are amazing. And the production is going to be amazing. And that, of course...
And the actors are so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the play is really good. Yes. The play is spectacular.
Yeah, and in this particular setting, I mean, it's sort of, you know, it's been set in so many different time periods and in so many different frameworks, but this one is interesting, and the set will blow your mind. And that is, let's see, 7:30 p.m. tonight. There's a production tonight at the Tino Griego Pool, which is the Santa Fe Public Library Lafarge branch over there on Llano Street. And there's a story in today's Posse Tiempo on page 32 that will let you know what all of the other show times are, and there's a great interview with David Olson who's in there.
Yes, indeed.
So that I'm really looking forward to that.
Good.
Yeah.
Everybody go.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, wear a sweater in case it's a cool night. April 10th, I guess that's Sunday, 4 o'clock, Jazz Concerts 241, like the number 4, 241. It's a program including Arlen Asher and Tribute Trio playing selections from Claude Bowling's Suite for Flute and Jazz Piano, and more Tribute Trio with live performance of originals from the new CD Tribute Trio Dedications, John Rangel Piano, Michael Glynn Bass, Cal Hines Drums at the Unitarian Church on Barcelona Road. And for more information, 989-1088.
Yay! Original jazz compositions are on the program for J.Q. Whitcomb and his quintet Five Below. They're playing at the First Presbyterian Church on Saturday at 4 p.m. over there on Grant Avenue in the downtown area. For there's also one on April 9th, and Whitcomb is getting together with John Rangel and Joel Fadness and... John Maestas, you can get advance tickets or you can get tickets at the door. If you call 920-5490, that's your jazz connection. That's my pick for your jazz connection anyway. The night. What else is going on? I already talked about the Muses Market. I already talked about that. Let's see. There's tons of stuff going on, but I just can't find it. You already talked
I'm
about
opening one right now, but...
Joe Hayes is going to be
when
doing
people
some
send attachments, it makes it much harder for us to read them because it takes so long to open them on your computer at the last minute. So, ladies and gentlemen, please do not send attachments anymore. Thank you very much.
Here's what you do.
End of rant.
You create a signature for yourself, if you're an email signature, and it has a who, what, when, where, how much, and all that good stuff. And then all you have to do is fill it out and push send.
Sometimes I get an email and the subject line is PR and the whole entire email is blank except for a little dot that's an attachment. Ladies and gentlemen, I delete those.
Uh-huh.
I don't even read them.
Nope. Who's got the time?
No, it's disrespectful of the journalist because the subject line should say what the whole thing is about.
On Tuesday the 12th also, did we talk about From Students to Performers? Joe Ellick, Santa Fe Concert Association Artistic Director.
That was the one I was trying to open.
Oh, okay. Is giving a talk to present the members of the Santa Fe Concert Association's 2010-2011 Epic Artists Program. There's going to be a presentation of music by Brahms and Bach.
Epic with a K.
Epic. Totally epic, dude. And that is at 7:30 p.m. at United Church of Santa Fe over there on Arroyo Chamiso on Tuesday. 7:30 p.m. What else?
Joe Ellick, wonderful, wonderful musician and mover and shaker.
Mover and shaker, yes.
Don't you think?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
David Geist Cabaret continues over there at Pronzo. There's numerous performances over there. If you go over to the Pronzo website, you can figure out what he's playing. I know that on Sunday there's a performance from 6 to 9 p.m., and there's a small cover for that. And that's sort of an intimate... Somebody burned the biscuits.
Do you smell the burned toast?
Yeah, somebody burned the biscuits. Wow.
It's fragrant.
That's pungent, isn't it?
Hey, everyone is invited to the Santa Fe Opera on Saturday, April 16th. I'm announcing this early. You know, there's a lot of things happening next weekend, and I'm not going to be here on Friday a week from today. So, really,
Bummer.
We should be announcing next week's stuff. But anyway, there's not very much time left. But on Saturday, April 16th, from 1 to 3, Gronk, the Los Angeles mural artist,
That's
will
right.
be working in Stearin Hall, creating the set for the new production of Griselda. And he is single-handedly painting the entire set from top to bottom, including the floor. And it's a great opportunity to see an artist at work. And the event is free. And you don't even need reservations. So, you just show up. on April 16th at 1 o'clock or later.
You want to talk about a few things that are happening next week?
Sure.
I've got a couple of them here in front of me that I can talk about. Got to talk about this one, kids. REO Speedwagon. Can you believe this? REO Speedwagon. The classic rockers are coming to Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino at Pewaukee Pueblo at 8 p.m. on Friday, April 15th. And tickets are available at tickets.com. You can also go to the website, and I think there's a link and a phone number that you can call for box office information. That's going to be pretty cool.
Does that remind you of your misspent youth?
You know, I was never, once an REO Speedwagon comes on the radio, I can sing every word. But it wasn't one of those bands that I, like, sought out, you know? I was more of
It's funny with top, you know, 70s top 40 like that.
Yeah.
You can remember, if you were alive then and listening to the radio, you can remember every single word, chord change.
Even if I never owned an REO Speedwagon album, but yep. I'm going, man. I'm totally going. And I think Styx is actually slated to play out there later in the month.
You know what? Styx?
Yeah.
STYX?
Uh-huh.
You know what's the greatest representation of Styx in modern media?
What?
Is on that episode of Freaks and Geeks where one of the guys sings the Styx song Lady aloud to the girl that he's trying to court. It's one of the great moments in all time. And actually, that television show, whose cancellation was a crime against art and humanity, was one of the greatest television shows. I rented the whole thing recently and watched it from beginning to end.
They did a marathon over the holidays. That was pretty cool. I want to mention really quick, the Performing Arts Department of the Santa Fe University of Arts and Design is presenting The Wedding Singer, the musical. Based on the film that had Adam Sandler and a bunch of other goofballs in it.
Excellent.
But
are you calling my friend Adam Sandler a goofball?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
yes, I am.
I wish he was my friend.
but the run of that is at the Greer Garson Theater over there on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And it runs April 15th through the 24th. If you go to ticketsantafe.org, you can find ticket information. There will be a story in next week's Pasa Tiempo about that. So there's that.
Ooh. And I have an announcement from Camp Love Wave. And they say, from CNN and Piers Morgan to Camp Love Wave and Taryn Love Wave, Governor Jesse Ventura visits the camp this Saturday at 11 a.m. on KSFR to discuss his new book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read.
Wow.
Oh, and I have one more. Diane Karp just walked in from the Santa Fe Art Institute, and there is, on Thursday of next week at 7 o'clock, a one-hour multimedia video opera based on 16th century Chinese novel The Journey to the West, Video Musicals 2. Joins the brightest lights of contemporary animation, Becca Taylor, Cynthia Starr, Ezra Clayton Daniels, with the most promising talents of contemporary music, Rachel Blumberg, Corey Gray, Shelley Shore, to create an oral and visual universe that gleefully transcends both media. Good heavens, this is a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But anyway, that's Thursday at 7 o'clock on Thursday, April 14th, at the Santa Fe Art Institute. Where? At Tipton Hall, which is next to the Santa Fe Art Institute on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And guess what? It's time to go.
It's time to go. Don't forget, Saturday, April 16th, 5 p.m., Lenzing Performing Arts Center, 10th anniversary gala celebration.
And Los Muñequitos de Matanzas is in a little over a week. We won't see you next week, Rob DeWalt, but we'll see you the week after.
I know. That means I get to sleep in.
I'll miss you, but... I'll miss you, too.
I'll think of you in my dreams.
Well... It's great to have you, Rob DeWalt, who is with the Pasa Tiempo, which is Friday Arts Supplement in the Santa Fe Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. Podcasting means you can go to that website that I just said and listen to the show. Mm-hmm. I just ran into a friend of mine dog walking who said, I've been listening for 7 years and I just realized you can listen to the show on the podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
And which is great. That's what you do. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, which means it'll download the podcast for you. And you can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. And the Facebook site is facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz a la carta with Ricardo Perez. and Helga Ancona. Rob DeWalt, have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
I can't believe it.
Hasta la vista.
That's wonderful.
No, you.